At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. All right, John Rahm wins the U.S. Open, the 2021 U.S. Open. And, well, I might as well start off with it right off the top of the podcast today. I did pick John Rahm, and it was not a hard pick. He was the favorite. I went off the fact that he was playing well coming off of the Muirfield victory, non-victory, when he was blowing away the field and got sidelined because of COVID. And I went off the fact that John Rahm has had incredible success at Torrey Pines. So that was a pretty easy pick. He was the odds-on favorite to win the U.S. Open. Of course, the favorite doesn't win a lot. I mean, that's why it's hard to pick in golf. But John Rahm does. He becomes the number one player in the world, takes over Dustin Johnson's spot, which Dustin Johnson held for 43 weeks, which is a pretty darn good run. And John Rahm becomes the, what is he? These in terms of the Spanish players who have won, Seve Ballesteros. You got Seve Ballesteros. You got Jose Marie Olazabal. You got Sergio Garcia and John Rahm. You got four Spaniards that have won major championships. Seve won three British Opens and two Masters, never won the PGA, never won the U.S. Open. As John Rahm said in his post-game interviews, he said this one was for Seve, who desperately wanted to win the U.S. Open and tried many times but didn't. Jose Marie Olazabal won two Masters championships, and Sergio Garcia won a Masters. So the Masters, when you look at all the majors that have Spanish players have won, which is a total of nine, they look at the Masters have accounted for five of those nine, and that's pretty impressive right there. That John Rahm wins the U.S. Open. Actually, it's more than that. Sergio Olazabal three, Master, yeah, five of the nine. Seve won three British, and then Rahm wins the U.S. Open. So that's pretty incredible, right? I mean, it's hard to imagine as many great players as Spain has had. Of course, maybe it's as I was a big Seve Ballesteros fan. I loved watching him play. And Jose Maria Olazabal, of course, he kind of only had the game to win in Augusta. It wasn't that great of a driver of the golf ball. And back in the day, you had to be able to drive the ball in the fairway. Of course, things have changed now. Definitely changed big time at the U.S. Open, the way they're playing the U.S. Open, the way the players are playing the U.S. Open. John Rahm hits 52% of the fairways, 29 out of 56 fairways, tied for 28th in that statistical category. And of course, everybody for years and years and years always used to say, you know, to win the U.S. Open, you got to drive the ball in the fairway. And even the players still say that, you know, you got to drive the ball. Well, I guess you do. Yeah, I got to drive the ball in the fairway 52% of the time. You know, the fact of the matter is that if you hit it a long way and miss a few more fairways, because nobody's going to hit them all. The fairways are so tight at the U.S. Open. The fairways are firm at the U.S. Open. You'll land balls in the fairway that end up in the rough. And if you hit a few more fairways, but you're 20 yards back, that formula isn't going to work. So everybody's figured that out. Torrey Pines especially is a long hitter's golf course. But Wingfoot last year was a long hitter's golf course. And I mean, every place is a long hitter's golf course. That's just the way the game of golf is today. But John Rahm, you know, played, you know, solid. I mean, that's what he did. He didn't, you know, he didn't tear it up. He didn't, you know, light it up. He shot 600, but he played a great fourth round. I mean, he really did. He had not really played great up until the fourth round, and to shoot the low round of the, you know, a tied low round of the day, a tied low round for the week. The low round for the week was 67. For Rahm to shoot 67 at Torrey Pines, U.S. Open conditions on the fourth round, I mean, that's a heck of a round. I mean, that just really is. I mean, that is a heck of a round. And with all the top players, you know, at top of the leaderboard, I mean, a lot of the top players, I mean, most of them, to be honest with you. I mean, if you know, going into the fourth round, I mean, you had Rory McIlroy, you had Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, I looked at it this way. The low score for the tournament so far had been 4 under par. And I thought to myself, okay, let's just assume, you know, make a little assumption that the top guys will probably struggle. Mackenzie Hughes, Russell Henley, Louis Oosthuizen. Oosthuizen did all right. I mean, he shot even par. But Hughes shoots 77. I mean, that's kind of what they shoot when they're in that position. That's what Richard Bland shot on Saturday. It's just kind of, you know, I was texting with a friend of mine from Canada, and I said, you know, he's cheering for Mackenzie Hughes. He seems like a really nice kid. And I said, he's going to shoot 77. I mean, that's just what they shoot. I mean, in that position, Russell Henley shot one better than that, 76. But you had Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, Dustin Johnson. You know, Dustin Johnson was 1 under par with Colin Morikawa. Xander Schauffele, they were 1 under par. Koepka was even par. And, you know, Justin Thomas was even par. And I thought, okay, you know, the guys that are even par could shoot 4 under. That gets them to 4 under. That may or may not be enough. And you had to look at history. 30 of the last 30 U.S. Opens, and now this is 31 out of 31, players in the within, I think, 4 shots of the lead have won. Players in the top 10 going to the last round have won. So it's just, you know, history just keeps repeating itself right there. And given that, you had to be in the top 10. Now, the top 10 was 13 players. I mean, because there's other guys sprinkled in there besides the guys that I just named. But I figured somebody is gonna shoot, you know, a good round, and you know, it's John Rahm. I mean, he didn't play great on Saturday. He didn't play very good, but he got a decent score. You know, I mean, he shot 1 over par, and that's good enough. See, this a big key is you gotta play some good rounds, but your bad round can't be too bad, and you gotta survive the bad round, and then you gotta have, you know, generally one really good round. Now, he shot 69 the first round, but then, you know, the big round was Sunday with his 67. And, of course, birdie in the last two holes was absolutely huge. That made him the fourth player major championship history that has birdied the 71st and 72nd hole. Well, at the U.S. Open, to win the U.S. Open, okay? Other players have done it. Phil Mickelson did it in 2013. He was the last player to do it. And birdied 17 and 18 at Muirfield to win the Open Championship. Marc O'Meara did it in 1998, birdied 17 and 18 at Augusta. Marc O'Meara is the last player to birdie the last two holes and win a major championship by one. So that goes all the way back to 1998. John Rahm just did it, 2021. It took 23 years for it to happen again. So that doesn't happen much. But it's happened four times at the U.S. Open. Ben Hogan did it in 1953 at Oakmont. Jack Nicklaus did it in 1980 at Baltusrol. Tom Watson did it at Pebble Beach in 1982. And now John Rahm has done it at Torrey Pines. So that didn't happen often. Now, the table was set a little bit for it to happen, given the fact that the 18th hole at Torrey Pines was playing the easiest hole on the golf course. But still, it's easy is, a relative term. There's no easy holes at a U.S. Open. Really, there are no easy holes in golf. But there's for sure no easy holes at a U.S. Open. But Rahm wins in style. And, he did it in a way that... Well, we're going to talk about that next. I'm going to give you a rundown of the statistics. A little bit unusual, although not based on what has happened so far this year. We'll get into that next. Let me talk a little golf instruction with you right now. Go to HaneyUniversity.com and get my free instructional videos that go out on a daily basis by just registering and signing up. Just give your email address and you'll get them on a daily basis to your email box. It's at HaneyUniversity.com. All right, we'll be right back on the Hank Haney Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let me give you a little statistical analysis of, I like to do this, of how John Rahm wins the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. Typically... at a PGA Tour event, and you hear me, if you listen to my podcast, you hear me talk about this a lot. PGA Tour events, 90% of the time, the player who wins parlays a top 10 putting week with a top 10 ball striking week, strokes gained tee to green statistics, strokes gained putting statistic. Top 10s, both of them, parlays it. 90% of the time, that's how they win. Now, generally speaking, the winning score at a PGA Tour event is more like, you know, 16 to, I don't know, 25 under par. And you're not going to get to 25 under par if you're not holing a bunch of putts. Major championships are different. I mean, you can win putting, you know, better than average, but not spectacular if you hole some good pressure putts. And Rahm did that. He held pressure putts on 17 and 18, and those were huge putts. And, you know, that obviously made the difference in his one shot victory. It was interesting. I was texting with Tommy Armour as Rahm was holing those putts. And when he holed the putt on 17, I text, and you know, and at that point it was still up for grabs, him and Louis Oosthuizen, and definitely up for grabs. And I, in a matter of fact, I think they were tied at that point. And I text Tommy, I said, this game over. And he said, who? And I said, John Rahm. Game over, John Rahm. I've seen this before out of, you know, Louis Oosthuizen, and he's a phenomenal player, and he's finished second 6 times in major championships. But I was thinking back to, listen, at the Zurich Classic, he's playing, and he, you know, he's on the 18th hole. His two man team is tied for the lead. I can't even remember who he's playing with, but anyway, it doesn't matter. He was tied for the lead, and he flashes it in the lake. Now, I mean, he's got the most beautiful swing. You know, one of the best swings on tour, no doubt about it. You know, this year he's been ranked number one in putting on the PGA Tour, and he still hasn't won. And I just didn't see that he was gonna finish it. Now, I mean, that wasn't the worst shot in the world that I've ever seen on 17. But see, this is the difference between a player who is super long. The players that are super long on 17, they're not going to hit that ball left. They're just not. They may flash it straight right, but they're going to hit it long enough to hit a short iron. Okay, Oosthuizen's got to put that ball in the fairway. I mean, he's got to put that ball in the fairway. And to put that ball in the fairway, he really needs to play a draw off that tee. And, you know, he started it too far left, and then it drew. He said he missed his line by 5 yards, but the, you know, the ball is in the junk. But anyway, back to the statistics. It's been different at the majors because you don't have to shoot 25 under par. I mean, look at the U.S. Open. I mean, Rahm finished at putting. He finished 21st. Okay, look at the Masters Championship. I mean, what happened there? I mean, Hideki Matsuyama finished. I can't recall exactly, but it was like 30th or 40th in putting. It wasn't spectacular. So that broke the mold of what the normal formula is. And then look at the PGA Championship. Phil Mickelson. I mean, Phil, you know, made some good putts, but he didn't finish top 10 in putting either there. So what usually happens at major championships is different than what happens at PGA Tour events. You know, you don't have to finish just absolutely lights out in putting. You don't have to hole everything you look at. Rahm did okay, 21st in putting. But if you look at his statistics, that, you know, he was strokes gained off the tee 5th, strokes gained approach shot to the green 11th. So if you combine the two there, he was it definitely top 10 strokes gained tee to green. Probably one of the best. I mean, he's probably top 5 at strokes gained at tee to green. So that was good, but the putting was 21st, and that's the formula. You're going to have a good ball striking week, and he did relative to the field, but you can get away with a decent putt. He didn't hole a bunch of putts. He held some good ones. He held those last two, but he didn't he didn't hole everything he looked at. That's for sure. Now, the one thing about those last two putts, when I was texting with Tommy Armour, you know, I And I thought Rahm was going to hold that putt on 18. I really did. Because when he putts, and I thought Paul Isger did a good job of describing what he does, he stands open with his putter. And people who stand open with their putter, it seems like they're a little better on left to right putts. And Rahm makes, if you look back, Rahm makes a lot of good left to right putts. The one thing that you have to watch out for when people stand open is they tend to come up and out of their putt a little bit too early. And Paul Azinger did a good job on NBC of pointing that out. And he said Rahm really stayed down on those putts and he didn't come up out of it. But I thought when Rahm made the first one, I mean, it was a great putt, but I just feel I like when Rahm's putting left to right putts. So I felt like, you know what, he's going to hole one of these left to right putts, and he hold the one on 17. And then when he got to 18, I thought, well, it's the same putt again. And I text Tommy. I say, it's the exact same putt. I mean, I'm not, you know, it's phenomenal putts. It would have been more difficult, you know, frankly, if one putt breaks, a foot and a half left to right, and the next putt breaks a foot and a half right to left. That's a much more difficult situation. It just is than hitting the same exact putt two times in a row. Okay, maybe the one on 17 broke an inch more or 2 inches more, whatever. But pretty much they were the same putt. So Rahm holed the same putt twice. So, you know, and they were 10 or 12 minutes apart or 15 minutes apart. I mean, it's not as easy as I just described. It's not like he's on the putting green just putting one right after another and he's got the feel and it wasn't on the same green, but at least it was the same putt. And he just saw it go in, you know, on 17. He's hit the same putt on 18. That was one thing, you know, that definitely was a, you know, I thought was a factor when I looked at it. Now, you know, is that, you know, he hit two good shots. You're not standing back there on the tee on 17 thinking I'm going to hit this shot up there and it's going to leave me a left to right putt. Or you're not thinking, you know, I'm going to hit this bunker shot right here so it's going to leave me a left to right putt. I mean, he's just trying to get him as close as he can. And it just so happens that it left him the exact same putt on both 17 and 18. And when he held the first one, I thought, well, he's going to hold the second one. It's the same putt again. And he's got the feel. Plus this guy's got something. I mean, there's just, you know, there isn't any doubt about it that John Rahm has got something. And, you know, Tommy Armour told me this, you know, back at the, you know, I think it was last year he told me this. He said, John Rahm's going to be number one in the world. And Tommy's the one who told me Dustin Johnson is going to be number one in the world before Dustin Johnson was ever number one in the world, before he was close to number one in the world. Tommy said Dustin Johnson's going to be number one in the world. And then 2 years ago, Tommy said, well, John Rahm's going to be number one in the world. Tommy Armour understands golf. I mean, he's been around it for so long. And when I talk golf, I always, you know, I always love talking with Tommy. I'm going to have him on the podcast here again pretty soon. As a matter of fact, I got to try to get him on to review the U.S. Open. But he always gets it. He just understands it. And he knows these guys. He watches. He's played with Rahm. He's going to be number one in the world. This guy's just you know, an incredible player. And he just loves golf and he loves to compete and he loves to work and he loves to practice. And, you know, it's a good call. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be interesting to see where John Rahm goes from here. I'm gonna touch on that next. But before I do, let me remind you to get your free Voodoo Pain Relief Cream samples. It's not just a little one, you know, deal in a little, you know, pamphlet or what do you call it? A little packet. It's a free 2-week supply is what it is. And it's a phenomenal product. It works incredible if you've got arthritis pain, muscle soreness, joint pain. So go to voodoopainrelief.com and you can get the free 2-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. Voodoopainrelief.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from this idea of is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, now the question always is, you know, it's the same question every time somebody wins major championship. Are the what's going to happen next? Are the floodgates going to open? Okay. If you go through everybody on the list that had a chance to win, let's say everybody in the top 10, you know, Mackenzie Hughes, if he won, he's missed 5 cuts in a row before this tournament. I mean, if he won, the floodgates weren't going to open. Louis Oosthuizen's won one tournament in his career on the PGA Tour. It happened to be a major championship, but he's won one tournament on his his floodgates weren't going to open. Russell Henley's floodgates weren't going to open. Bryson DeChambeau, the way he's playing, you know, his style, it's just going to be good on certain golf courses. I don't think there's any doubt about that. This was a good golf course for that style, though it ran out on the back nine when he shot 44. Rory's not going to, his floodgates aren't going to open. They're already open. I mean, he's won a bunch of majors, but it's been a long time since he's won one. And he's, you know, the same thing reared his head with Rory again. He just doesn't putt good enough. And that's the bottom line there. I mean, Scottie Scheffler looks like he's going to be a really good player, but his floodgates aren't going to open. I mean, he's got to win some tournaments first. Matthew Wolff had a chance. His floodgates aren't going to open. His statistics are horrible. Dustin Johnson's, you know, is a great player. He's, you know, he's going to win, but he's not going to floodgate it if he wins. Colin Morikawa, you know, he's won a PGA. I mean, Xander Schauffele, I mean, he needs to start winning some, but he's a long, you know, Kevin Streelman, he's not, none of these guys, Christian Bezinin-Holt or whatever his name is, he's not going to win, his floodgates aren't going to open. There's one guy on this list, you know, that had a chance to win on Sunday at Torrey Pines, whose floodgates, you know, you could look and you could say, yeah, his floodgates will open. And that's John Rahm. I mean, listen, when John Rahm lost out at the Memorial, and make no mistake about it, he was going to win that golf tournament. You know, everybody knew it. I mean, he had a 6-shot lead. He was playing phenomenal and putting really good. And he was going to win that tournament. Well, when he lost out there, I said, you know, and I said this on one of the podcasts, I said, this is not a big deal for John Rahm. I mean, this is no big deal. John Rahm's going to win more golf tournaments. John Rahm's going to be a Hall of Fame golfer. I said this. I said John Rahm's going to be a Hall of Fame golfer. John Rahm's going to win major championships. I mean, this is, you know, this is a bigger deal for his caddy, who lost $160,000 at the Memorial when John Rahm didn't win, and which was one of the cool things that happened. I think at the, here at the U.S. Open. I mean, it's cool that John Rahm won, but. One thing that was really good is his caddy picked up $225,000. If he got 10% on the win, and I'm sure he did, from John Rahm, this caddy Adam. So that was nice. That was nice because that's a lot of money for anybody. But that's a lot of John Rahm's not going to miss the $1.6 million. The caddy $160,000. That's a big payday. Went going by the wayside. Your man's got a 6-shot lead. He's going to win. I mean, you're already figuring out how you're going to spend that money, and all of a sudden it's gone. So that was pretty cool. But what happens with Rahm from here? Well, now he's number one in the world. Okay, that's one thing. But if you look at Rahm's statistics, he's second strokes gained tee to green. He's second strokes gained off the tee. He's ninth in approach shot to the green. He's 57th around the green, which is very adequate, which was pretty good up and in on the last hole, by the way. He's 68th in putting, which is not great, but that's a skewed number because he putted great at Memorial, and none of those statistics counted. He's out of that tournament, the WD, because of the COVID. I mean, he would be in the 40s somewhere, and that's after starting off the year at when I started keeping these statistics. Or looking at him, he's 151st. So he's trending down. He's putting better all the time. He didn't light it up with the putting. But John Rahm historically is a good putter. 22nd in 2020, 36th in 2019. He's a good putter. He had an off year putting, which I think some of it was due to the fact that he was using a face balance putter for the first time in school, who knows why he did that. But anyway. He's back using a putter that's more familiar to him, at least a style. It doesn't matter. He's got a Callaway Odyssey putter. The Odyssey's owned by Callaway. And they make incredible putters. I mean, there's no putters better than the Odyssey putters. But when you change, it's not, he didn't just change from, Ping to Odyssey or from, Scotty Cameron to Odyssey. He changed from a toe hang putter to a face balance putter, the big, big change. And now that he's back putting with a putter that's a similar style to what he's putted well with, he's going to keep putting better. I mean, and Rahm has statistics. He's only 45th in three putt avoidance, which is, pretty good. Rahm has 21st in distance. Rahm has statistics that match up with anybody on tour. For sure. And you know what? When you listen to his interview, and he said the one thing he said, I knew if I could get there on Sunday. I mean, this is not, most of these guys are like, you just want to have the opportunity. I got a chance to win. Rahm said, if I would be around on Sunday with a chance to win, I knew I could get it done. I mean, that wasn't like I thought I could get it done. I was hoping to get it done. I just wanted a chance to get it done. He said, I knew I could finish the deal. I knew I could get it done, especially at Torrey Pines. And when they do it, like he did, I mean, that's a confident player, but it's even more confident now that he's done it. And we've seen this before. A lot of times these players, and they ask, it's a floodgates. Like when Sergio won his first major. Sergio's putted good enough to win one major. Adam Scott, when Adam Scott won a major, what'll happen now with Adam Scott? Nothing's going to happen with Adam Scott. He's not a good putter. He's putted good enough to win one major. When Justin Rose won his major, it's kind of pretty much the same thing. A lot of, there's the guys that have, parlayed a putting and ball striking or had the greatest putting week of their life and they won a major. That's not a floodgates open. John Rahm is going to be he's going to be a major championship player, for a long time. I mean, he just really is. I mean, and this is just the beginning of it right here at Torrey Pines. It's an incredible win, and You know, he deserved it. And you know what? It was an incredible interview too. So I'm going to, I got more John Rahm thoughts. I'll get into those some more tomorrow, but it was a good win. Good to see him win. And I think that was a very, very well-deserved kind of justice, you know, a little karma after the memorial loss. To win the U.S. Open and be the first Spaniard to win the U.S. Open. Good stuff. All right, follow me on Twitter, at Hank Haney. I've been on there tweeting away, so good stuff on there. Hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app. Go to HaneyUniversity.com to register for the instructional videos, and go to VoodooPainRelief.com to get your free two-week supply. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Hank Haney Podcast. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.